about a half day south of Stanley, the Falkland Islands, heading towards Antarctica. We were in the midst of gale force winds, 10 on the Balfour scale, and we were experiencing 45-foot seas. Now, I'm going to tell you something. These ships are big, but even the biggest ship you can imagine is going to have a fun ride in 45-foot seas. The morning before, we thought it was pretty bad because we were having 20-foot seas. It happened to be Sunday morning, and I was doing communion, you know. Trying to consecrate the elements in high seas is always fun to watch, not to do. So it was the morning after that, Monday morning, and the seas were now 45 foot, and we had massive swells. And I had gone up to the crow's nest, which is sort of the lounge up top and forward on the ship, and was sort of sitting in a chair, I should have had a seat belt, enjoying the ride. You see, when you're in seas like that, the ship will kind of ride up the swell and the wave, and when it reaches the top, it then topples forward and goes crashing down, where it hits and what they call slams, then it shimmies, and waves cover the forward bow, and waves splash up and splash against the windows of the bridge. Then the ship pulls out of the water again and goes up and up until it reaches the top of the next wave, 45 feet or more higher, and then splash, it does it again. Over and over and over and over again. That morning I woke up because I rolled out of bed with one of those slams. And there was a woman I talked to later that day who was whining and complaining that she'd been rolled out of bed 9 or 10 times. And I said, why didn't you do what I did? And was just turn yourself laterally so that the motion would simply raise you and lower you, not roll you out of bed sideways. So anyway, I was up in the crow's nest watching the show, enjoying the ride, and I decided I was getting a little bit hungry. You know, it was about 7, 7:30, and I hadn't had anything since the midnight buffet the night before. So I said, I think I'll go downstairs and get an omelet. So I got up, and when you're walking at a ship that's doing this, you got to be very careful. You can walk when the ship's going up the wave, but when it reaches the top and starts to go down, you better have something to hold on to quick. Either a rail, or a chair, or a table, or the wall, or the steward who's standing next to you, somebody to hold on to, or you stand there like this, like you're surfing, until you get to the bottom of the wave and the ship shimmies and then you can go on again. And people who know how to do it have fun walking, you know, walking along top of the wave, whoop, walking along top of the wave, whoop, and it's a funny thing to watch. So anyway, I get up to go down to the Lido to have some omelet and good breakfast. And I looked around and I was noticing some of my fellow passengers were kind of looking a little green around the gills. And I got that little self-satisfied, little arrogant smirk on my face. I thought to myself, ha 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 ha, land lovers. And I go to the forward staircase and started going down the stairs. Now, going downstairs in heavy seas is really fun, let me tell you. Especially when the ship is going up the wave, it's kind of interesting because you're going down a whole lot faster. Then when the ship goes down and you're trying to go down the stairs, you discover the ship's going faster than you are. So I go down 2 flights to the Lido deck and start to head to the restaurant, and I hear from about a deck below me the sound of a man sobbing, crying. And it was repressed, and yet I could hear it, and I heard mumbling. So I went back to the stairwell and went down to the mid-deck landing, and there, seated at the top of the stairs, holding on to the rail with his eyes clenched shut, was a middle-aged man with tears streaming down his cheeks. A middle-aged man who I immediately recognized as being one of the gentlemen who had received communion the morning before in chapel service. Holding on, and I heard him reciting again and again and again, "He leadeth me beside still waters." So I sat down next to him and said, "Sir, can I help you?" And of course, I immediately started to feel really small for having had that arrogant moment and thinking, "Ha, ha, ha." And he said that he was terrified, and it's obvious. Not that he was seasick, but that he was terrified because he had never been in high seas like that. And literally been afraid that the ship was going to topple over or that he would topple over. And it turned out he had actually fallen down a half flight of stairs to that point. And he was afraid. So I said, "Let me help you back to your cabin." "I can't go up those stairs." I said, "You don't have to go up them. We'll go down to the next floor and then take the elevator back up to your deck." So we carefully got up. Waited for the ship to start going back up, got up and went down the stairs and got in the elevator and rode back up, and I escorted him back to his cabin. And then I went and had breakfast, and God got the better of me because I'm sitting there eating my bacon, onion, and cheese omelet with sausages on the side and biscuits and gravy and coffee and orange juice, and I'm sitting there watching the seas roll around me. And suddenly God played a trick on me, and I started to feel a little bit queasy. "He leadeth me beside still waters. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Those words have echoed for uncounted numbers of people in times of distress and fear, in times of anguish and pain, in times of wondering of what we're going to do. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Those words serve as comfort in difficult times. And those words were serving that gentleman in a very difficult time. Except as he said, "I couldn't get past, he leadeth me beside still waters," because there were none to be seen or felt. 45-foot seas is not still waters. As I went through the Lido deck pool area to get my breakfast, I was noticing that the mid-deck pool, the water was sloshing all the way to the back and then rocketing up and smashing against the underside of the Magra Dome. And while I was sitting having breakfast, one of those fountains of water shattered some of the glass panes up there. "He leadeth me beside still waters." God, where are the still waters? Where's the green pasture? In difficult times, you wonder, where is the green pasture? Where are the still, calm, soothing waters? Anyway, when we were in Antarctica, where the water was truly smooth, so smooth that it reflected the scenery around you like a mirror, I'm standing out on the forward deck in 20 degrees, all bundled up, and some fella comes up beside me. He was all bundled up, so I didn't recognize him, but he recognized me, and he said, "Thank you. Thank you for helping me. You were like a shepherd to me in that moment." And in that exact moment, what went through my mind was that wonderful cartoon of Wile E. Coyote and the sheepdog. Cartoons tend to go through my mind in moments like that. And the sheepdog, whose job it was to protect the sheep, and Coyote, who, when he would punch in to go to work, his job was to steal the sheep. The sheepdog was always there to stop Wile E. Coyote from stealing a sheep. One of my favorite parts of that episode is where Wile E. Coyote happens to get one of the sheep up on his back, and he carries him off and sets him down, pulls out a napkin, ties it around his neck, pulls out a knife and a fork, and starts to sharpen them up to get ready to eat the sheep. And the sheep stands up on its hind legs, pulls down the zipper, and out steps the sheepdog. So I told the man that story, and I said, I may have been a sheepdog at that moment, but a little later I became a sheep in need of one too. And it is true, the Lord is our shepherd, and we are called to be shepherds to each other. Shepherds to each other. And I thank God that I have been graced with a congregation of shepherds in sheep's clothing and of sheep who sometimes wear shepherd's clothing. It's a blessing to be your pastor. In the 23rd Psalm, if you go down another couple of verses, you notice something else that I found interesting. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now, when you're in high seas and you're feeling a little bit nauseated, you don't want to have a table piled before you, do you? Nor do you want your cup running over too much. It'll slosh off the sides. But what the Lord provides us at this table, at the Lord's table, what the Lord provides us in all the means of grace, in the scriptures, in our Sunday school classes, in our studies together, in our Bible studies, in our service at Ewing House, Austin Street, in Elation, in the choir, in all the various ministries and missions of our congregation, in our worship here today, in the baptism next Sunday, in communion today, what the Lord provides us is a table filled with grace, filled with God's love, filled with opportunity to serve, filled with opportunity to receive. Thou preparest a table before me, even in the presence of mine enemies. I don't know what's confronting you today. I don't know what's confronting you today in your life, what kind of enemies you may have. Most of our enemies tend to be internal. Most of our enemies tend to be self-made, or at least internal to us. Sometimes our enemies are outside us. I mean, April 15th coming up, come on. I mean, the IRS. Some of us have medical appointments to go to when we don't want to go. Some of us have court cases to go to when we don't want to go. Whatever's facing you, external or internal, thou preparest a table before me, God, in the presence, even in the presence of mine enemy. And it's not just what I need, but even more than I need. My cup runneth over. God promises. Now, we may not always see it or know it immediately. That man didn't see it or know it immediately. The high seas continued for another day and a half. But when you look, when you listen, when you set aside your preconceptions about what God should give you and instead look to see what God is offering you to do, God's grace overflows. God's offering to you is always there. Thou preparest a table before me. Before us today is prepared the table of the Lord. I invite you to come and to receive from this table the overflowing grace of God that will empower your Christian living. I invite you to come to this, the table of the Lord, prepared before us in the presence, even indeed in the presence of those many things, those enemies that confront us, many of them internal. Come to the table of the Lord and receive that glorious grace offered at the table. And give thanks and praise to God that God has called us to receive the shepherd and to be the shepherd for others.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2008 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.